you would turn, please, again to Mark's Gospel and to Mark chapter 9, where we'll take up the reading from where we left off. Excuse me. We'll take up the reading at verse 14. We finished at verse 13 last Wednesday. Mark chapter 9 in the New Testament, Mark chapter 9, and we'll read from verse 14 to the end of verse 29. This is the word of the Lord. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Thus far we read in God's holy and infallible word. Verse 23, Jesus, in reply to this man with his son and their plight, says to him, to the man, the father that is, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's our text for this evening. Here we have a case of human suffering. It's caused by evil, not sickness. Remember, I've said before, and I reiterate the point, that the Bible, that the New Testament, the Gospels in particular, never mix the two. Sickness and evil, the affliction of evil, possession, demon possession, call it what you will, it always distinguishes between the two. The two are not the same. This is a problem with evil. His son is consumed with evil, possessed by evil, by an evil spirit, and he has been like this from a child. The cause of it, what lay behind it, we have no way of knowing, we are not told. But we are told what the answer is. It's a case of human suffering. There's a father, so there must be a son. There must be a wife. There must be a mother somewhere, because there's a child. So where's the mother? We ask ourselves. Maybe, perhaps, they've tried every other avenue of help. Maybe they've been to the social services. Maybe they've been to the psychos. They've tried everybody. And perhaps, maybe, I'm speculating, I know, but you just wonder, where's the mother? Maybe, perhaps, she's given up. Maybe she says, I'm tired of this evil, this wickedness constantly. I've had enough. Wrings her hands and walks out the door and just leaves the father and the son with the circumstances. And so here we have the father coming to Jesus. He has perhaps heard about Jesus and the many miracles that he's performed, the things that are being spoken of him. And who knows, maybe as a last resort he comes to Jesus looking for help. If you can, he says, have compassion on us. If you can do anything to help us, please help us. And is it not a sad thing that you see people in distress because of situations similar to this and others too? But always it seems to be a last resort that we come to Jesus Christ with our troubles, our problems, our ills, our evils, our sins, whatever it be that troubles us. He's the last person that we come to. We try all kinds of remedies, the psychos and social workers, but to no lasting avail. But Jesus always seems to be the last resort rather than the first resort. But Jesus gives him the answer not only to his son's problem, he gives him the answer to both of their problems, his and his son's. But he gives them not just a cure, but he gives to all of us, the entire human race, in this answer that he gives to the man in verse 23, he gives us the answer to the cause of all the troubles in the world. Why do I say that? He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What does he mean by believe? He means believing in the Son of God. And that's the answer to all the troubles in the world. Why do I say that? Would that make them all go away? No, it wouldn't. But you see, he goes to the very root of the matter, and the root of the matter is original sin. Adam's sin that brought sin and death and trouble into the world. You see, sin is the cause, and the effect of it is all the troubles that we see in the world today, including this man's trouble with his son. I guarantee you take any problem that faces humanity, anyone at all, and you honestly and sincerely trace it back to its roots, it will take you to the same place every time. It will take you back to Adam's sin, to original sin. Take the problem of evil that this man is faced with in his son, the devil. The child is demon possessed. He has an evil spirit within him. You take the problem of starvation. Many people cast this in our faith, in our faces. They say, well, you know, if God is so great and powerful, why is it that we have this problem of starvation? Why is it that many people throughout the world are facing famine and starvation? Why does God not provide for them? Well, the answer is that God has provided for them. God has provided sufficient food for the entire human race multiplied several times. There's an organization that's responsible for the monitoring of the world's food supplies. They said some years ago now, but they said that the world's population could increase by so many billion and we would still have enough to feed the entire human race. So what's the problem? Why are people starving to death? Because greedy men, businessmen if you like, are stashing food up in warehouses, keeping it, controlling it, manipulating it in order to push up market prices so that they can fill their greedy coffers with more and more money. Rather than giving, rather than distributing the food honestly and fairly so that no one starves. You see, sin is the problem. It's sin that causes the starvation, not God's lack of provision. Take the problem of death. Where does death come from? It comes from original sin. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death came into the world by one man's sin and has spread to all men. So you see, whatever the problem is, whatever the difficulty, whatever the affliction, whatever the evil that we face, the cause, the root cause at the bottom of it all is original sin. And there's only one answer to that. And that's faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. There is no other answer to it. So he says to the man, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The answer to the man's suffering, his child's suffering. You see, the common denominator that binds every single member of the human race together is that we all belong to the family of sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the answer given to the man is not just the answer to his problem, but the answer to its cause. Because it's no good treating the effects and leaving the cause untouched. But isn't this often what we do? You know, we go to the doctors and we want him to get rid of the effects. You know? We're not so much bothered about the cause, just get rid of the effects. I hate this effect. You know? And there are many people in our society today who want to get rid of the effects of sin. They like the idea of peace. They like the idea of joy and happiness. But they don't realize what is the cause of their misery. Get rid of the effects. Get rid of this that makes me unhappy. You know? Get rid of this sexually transmitted disease, but don't talk about the cause. We hate, we despise, we loathe, and we want rid of the effects of sin, but don't talk to me about getting rid of the sin. No, no, no. That we like too much. But it is no good treating the effects if you leave the cause untouched. It's the cause that you have to deal with. Then you get rid of the effect, quite naturally. So, original sin is the cause of the evil, and is, of course, the cause here of the problem in our text this evening. So when Jesus says to him, if he can believe that all things are possible to him, to the person that believes, well, the question of faith, what does Jesus mean by believe? Well, he means this. Believing that he, the second person of the Holy Trinity, believing that he, the Son of God, that he and he alone can effect a cure for his son, that he and he alone can do this, that he and he alone is the Savior and the Redeemer of sinners. No one else. Now I say that because, we live in a multicultural society now, don't we? No longer do we have, it used to be, you know, that we had, our children were taught in school what we called comparative religion, you know, that anyone was as good as another, you know, but now of course it's gone much wider and deeper than that. We've got the presence of all kinds of heathen religion in our midst in our country today. And of course, children are taught in schools from primary school right through to university that, if you do happen to be religious, that they're all the same. And of course, it doesn't really matter which one you believe in because, they all lead to the one God anyhow. It's no matter. Call him what you will. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus Christ himself teaches. He says elsewhere, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we are told that there's none other name under the whole canopy of heaven whereby we can be saved, only through the name of Jesus Christ. This is what he submits to the man. Can you believe that I, and I alone, and nobody else can do this? If you can believe that Jesus Christ and he alone can effect salvation in your heart and your life, I tell you, all things are possible to the person who believes. Believing that he alone is able, that he is able to perform this of which he's asked, that he is able to perform salvation, that he is able to deliver us from that original sin, from the effects of it. Well, ask yourself the question, who is it that we're speaking? Or rather, who is it that's speaking to us out of this text of Scripture? Well, what have we seen of him already in the Bible? We've seen that he's the creator of the universe and everything in it. That there was nothing made that was made without him. He is its creator. All things consist by him. He holds it all together. It all hangs by his power. So he's able to create a universe. Is he not able to effect deliverance for this young child? Is he not able to effect deliverance for you in your sinful state and condition? Of course. But can you believe, says Jesus, that I and I alone am able to do this? If you can, he says, all things are possible to the person who believes. What else have we seen him doing? We've seen him walk through the pages of Mark's Gospel, and we've seen him raising the dead. We've seen him giving eyesight to the blind. Even his enemies said of him, no man ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did. This is the miracle working Christ of God. This is the miracle working Son of God, who is able to do all these things and more. So what is this child's deliverance? What is your deliverance? What is your salvation? If but you can believe, Jesus says, faith and faith alone is the answer to the cause, the root cause of all your troubles. Original sin. It is faith that affects salvation, and faith alone, nothing else. Faith is the issue, the question of faith, believing that he and he alone and nobody else, Jesus Christ, and that he alone is able, and that he is more than willing more than willing, if you can believe that I am willing to do this, Jesus says. More willing to deliver, more willing to save than we are to believe that he is willing. You say, well, how do you know that he's willing to save me? How do you know that he's willing to save anybody? Well, we see him again on the pages of the scriptures. We see him weeping outside the gates of Jerusalem over an obdurate people who refused to come to him. How often I wanted, but you didn't. You wouldn't, he says. Jesus, on another occasion, said to the Jews, he said, ye are not willing to come to me that you might have life. What's the problem? Is there not a sufficiency of life in Jesus Christ for all who would come to him? Yes, there is. What's the problem? He says, you are not willing to come to me that you might have it. But were you willing to come to me, you would have it. But then, of course, you have to go ultimately to the cross. You have to stand beneath the cross there on Mount Calvary and gaze upon the Son of God with his arms wide open that his Father sent him into the world, and that he came not because he was commanded, but he came voluntarily, he came willingly. He so loved sinners that he came, that he lived and loved, and that he died on the cross for them. Shows, demonstrates to all that he is more than willing to save those who will come to him in faith, believing. If thou canst believe, he says, all things are possible, even your salvation, to him that believeth. But then secondly, you may ask the question, you may say, well, what's the difficulty? What makes it so difficult for people to believe? If this is the case, if it's that simple, if Jesus Christ is able to do this and willing to do this, and he alone can do it, then why aren't there multitudes of people coming to him in our society today? What is it that makes it so hard to believe in Jesus Christ? Well, here's the problem. We are each and every one of us born with a bias. A bias towards, a bias away from God, and a bias towards unbelief. We come into the world in that state, in that condition. We're born in sin, original sin, you see. That's the cause, that's the bottom line. We have a game that is predominantly played in Scotland. It's played down here too, of course. I've seen Bowling Greens, you know, and you have this game, and you roll the white ball, called a jack, you know, across the green, and then afterwards you have these larger balls, and you have to get one as close to the white ball as you possibly can. But these big wooden balls, they have a bias, you see. And I guarantee you, I played the game, I know, and no matter how much you try to bowl that ball in a straight line, it won't go, because it has a bias. It's weighted on one side, and it will curve one way or the other depending on how you roll it. But you see, that's like us. You see, we have this bias. There's none of us run straight to God, because we've got this bias towards unbelief. We've got this bias towards sin. We're hostile in our minds towards God. This is our natural state and condition. Maybe you've asked yourself the question a time or two, why did I do that thing? I knew it was wrong. I knew that there would be consequences, but I went ahead and I did it. Why did I do that? Almost like we can't help ourselves. And we can't, because we have this bias, we have this sinful nature, and we just naturally do sinful things. We don't have to be taught. You don't have to teach a kid to tell lies. You don't have to teach a kid to be angry with his parents. They do it quite naturally. Parents have to strive, and they have to work, and they have to toil and labor to get their kids to run in a straight line, and even the best of parents don't always achieve it. Because we've got this bias towards evil, towards sin. But you see, even there, God's given us a help. You know, he says in the book of Romans, he says, because of all the things that he has made. He says, you look at creation, he says, and you see my power, my divinity, my Godhead, you see my wisdom. Everything that was made, whether you live in a concrete jungle in London or New York City, or whether you live in the Amazon jungle, no matter where you be, he says, you look at everything that I've made, he says, and it's as plain as the nose on your face that I am. And therefore he says, oh man, whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you're coming from, whatever your background is, your color, your creed, he says, you are without excuse for not knowing that I am. But then, of course, we have this notion that we have this belief, you know, that there are some that there are some good, you know, that we have this little bit of spark in us, that man has something in him that's good, you know, he's not quite totally written off altogether, he's not totally depraved, he's got something good in him, and if we can just reach the good, you know, then we can maybe make something of him. Well, the Bible says that we have nothing, absolutely nothing to offer to God at all. There is none good, says God, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God, all gone out of the way, and together become, well, sinful, cut off from God, with nothing to offer God, totally and utterly helpless before God. And then, of course, another difficulty is getting people to believe that faith and faith alone does the business, justifies us before God. If thou canst believe, not if thou canst be religious, not if thou canst be good, not if thou canst do good works, but if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. It is faith and faith alone that's required, you see. But we have this inbuilt tendency within us to think that we have to offer something. You know, how can it be that God just, simply because a person believes, God clears him, vindicates him, justifies him? This is exactly how it is. But we think we have to pay something. We have to do something. We have to add something. The good man Luther, of course, he struggled with this for many a long year. Looking for peace. He was in the midst of medieval Roman Catholicism, and he became a monk. He took himself into a monastery. He longed for, he was looking for peace with God. And he flogged himself, and he fasted, he paid penances, he did the whole rigorous business, but still no peace. He took himself off to Rome, and he thought he was going to heaven itself, and he found the place was just full of iniquitous, evil religion. And then God spoke to him. Two occasions, I think it was, if my memory serves me right. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That it was by faith and faith alone. This was the great discovery that started the Reformation, that Luther discovered, that God revealed to him, that a man is justified not by works, but by faith and faith alone in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ alone. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You see, the moment a man believes in Jesus Christ, God the Father dons the judge's cap, the gavel comes down, and he pronounces that man not just not guilty, but righteous. By faith. The righteousness of God works by faith, and by faith alone. And so that's why Jesus says to the man, if thou canst believe. And he cries out to him, he says, Lord, I believe, I do believe, he says, help my unbelief. So let me give you one or two assistances towards the pathway of believing. Consider, if you will, please, that the message is not a human one. The gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, the whole thing, it all hangs together, as we've already said on future occasions, other occasions. It's not a human message. It's not something that's been devised, not even by the apostles. It hasn't been devised by the church. It hasn't been added to or taken from. The Word of God stands as it has always stood. It is a message that has come to us from God Himself. Every single word of it is breathed out by God. It is to be trusted. It is God's own testimony. And if you can believe the promise of God's salvation through His Son Jesus Christ, then you can be saved. Your salvation is a possibility. Because it's God's plan, it's not man's. But then again, the testimony of Scripture, it's an infallible testimony. It is faultless. I recall reading of a Jewish doctor. I don't recall having told you this before, but forgive me if I did, but this Jewish doctor in California, he had been involved in operations, abortions. That was he made his livelihood out of this. Millions of dollars he had gained performing abortions, and all of a sudden, for no reason known to himself at the time, he started to feel guilty about it. He was very, very unhappy with himself, and he took himself to see this pastor, a man called John MacArthur, there in Los Angeles, in California, and he was brought into John's office, and he related the matter to John. He said to him, he said that he had been to psychiatrists, and he tried all other kinds of remedies. People, he says, but he says that there'd been no help. He said, I just feel so guilty. He said, can you help me? And John MacArthur looked at him, And he said, no, he said, I can't. He said, there's nothing I can do for you. And he said, he sat there for a moment in silence, and he let that sink in. And he said, the little Jewish doctor was sat there, and he said, his face just looked, he looked as though he was just crushed. And then John said to him, but he said, I know somebody who can. And he gave him a copy of the Bible, and he sent him away with the Bible, and he told him to read John's Gospel. And he said to him, read it. He said, and read it again and again and again. And he said, don't come back to see me, he says, until you can tell me who Jesus Christ is. Okay. So away the little Jewish doctor went. In the meantime, the pastor, John MacArthur, was talking to other ministers. And he related this account to them. He said that he had given the man the Bible and told him to read it. And these other ministers said to him, what? You just gave him a Bible to read? Didn't you give him something to help him to understand the Bible? He said, no. He said, I just gave him the Bible, God's Word. I trust God to use His Word, as He's promised to do. So, about a month later, the Jewish doctor's back in John's office, and Pastor MacArthur said to him, well, he said, tell me, he said, who is Jesus Christ? And the little doctor, his face was just illuminated, smiling from ear to ear. He said, I don't know what you mean, he said, but he says, it's plain as plain can be to me, he said, that he's God. He's God. And John MacArthur looked at him and said, what, you? A Jew? You're a Jew? He said, you're telling me that Jesus Christ is God? He said, yes, I am. Okay, he said, so tell me, what difference is that going to make to your life? He says, I don't know, he said, but he said, changes have already been made. He said, my resignation, he says, has gone into the abortion clinic. He says, there's no more of that. That's finished. He says, the woman I'm living with, she's gone, and my wife and children are on the way back home. You see, already his life had begun to change. Yeah? This revelation had come to him through reading the Word of God, through reading the Bible. He had come to an understanding. The penny had dropped, as we say. The light had shone from heaven. He saw that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that He was God the Son. And that revelation had revolutionized and changed his life, his existence, his heart. And what was it that did that? It was the infallible testimony of the Word of God. It was the Bible and the reading of it. So I commend to you, I tell you, read the Bible. Read the Gospels. Read about Jesus Christ. And get to know who He is. Because you cannot come to see that Jesus Christ is God, and that He died for your sins, and that not change you. That's an impossibility. That's how a person comes to faith. But then I could point you to the testimony of other Christians. I could tell you of men and women the world over, even today, down through the generations of the Christian, the history of the Christian church, men whose lives have been wrecked by drunkenness and drug abuse, women lost to immorality and in the most degrading state, the worst of men, of criminals, who have committed the most heinous crimes against humanity and God, and you would think were beyond redemption and have found salvation. Not all, of course, have been like that. Some very respectable religious, but nonetheless, sinners just like all men. Because we all have this one common problem of original sin. However it manifests itself in our lives. You have the testimony of so many Christians. I've thrown this challenge out to people time and time again. When I've been ministering on the streets, I challenge them. I say, well, you bring me 6 people to stand here in front of me next week, yeah, who are sworn atheists, who can stand here and testify before the general public that since they became atheists, that they are so happy, yeah, and that atheism has transformed and changed their lives and given them new hope and given them joy and given them peace. And I say to them, I guarantee you, you won't even be able to bring one. Because atheism does not do that for people. It makes them miserable, it makes them unhappy, it makes them argumentative, it makes them hateful. And I say to them, but I guarantee you this, I can bring you 6 men or women to stand here and testify publicly that since they found Jesus Christ, since they believed in him, their lives have changed for the better, transformed, joy, happiness, and peace is theirs. You have the testimony of so many people the world over, from all kinds of backgrounds, ordinary men and women just the same as you, folk just the same as ourselves, and they found Jesus to be a saviour. They found him to be just who the Bible declares him to be, the Son of God and God the Son. I could tell you of a man who once was a drunkard and a blasphemer, had no time for God, no time for anybody but himself. He lived just simply and only to drink and get drunk. And God took hold of that man and changed and transformed his life 34 years ago and changed him from a drunkard to a preacher of God's word. And I can tell you about that man because I am that man. I stand before you tonight and testify to the reality of salvation in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what is required of you? The same that was required of me, that is to believe. To believe in the Son of God. If thou canst believe, those were the words that Jesus spoke to me 34 years ago. I took him at his word. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. I said, well, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe you say that all things are possible, even my salvation. And that's what I got when I believed. I got salvation, I got forgiveness, I got cleansing, I got renewal, I got new life, I got a hope of future, I got peace, I got joy, I got Jesus. So there you go, the man. He cries to the Lord, he asks him to help, he says, help mine unbelief. And in response, the Lord Jesus ministers to his son, and his son is delivered from the unclean spirit, from this devil that possessed him. From a child, the father says, from a child. He'd been like this from early childhood. But then you see, that again is a picture of us all, you see, in original sin, because from a childhood we're sinners. It all needs to be forgiven. The sins of childhood, the sins of youth, the sins of adulthood, the sins of old age, it all needs to be forgiven. It all needs to be washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Only Jesus can. Oh yes, he uses his disciples, but it's Jesus, it's Christ and Christ alone who can deliver us from the thraldom of evil. Only Christ. So if you can believe, if you can believe that Jesus and he alone can, and that he is able, he alone is able, and that he is willing, you can, or you can be saved. The grace of God, which alone, the grace of God, the gift of God, that means. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. His gift, his gift, his gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can only hold out the hand of faith and receive it. And receive Christ. Because Christ alone, he only can justify any man before God. Make you just as though you had never sinned. That's what justification is. And it comes as a result of believing. If thou canst believe, all things, even your salvation, even this night, is a possibility for the person who believes. Amen.